the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, there's a Christian song that says, "He knows my name." And I love these lyrics talking about the fact that we are secure in Christ if we're a believer. The song says, "He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, all creatures great and small. It will be fine because he knows my name." Well, hi, Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper, and this is Exploring the Word. And we're going to talk for a couple of programs about what it means to be made in the image of God. The scholarly term is imago Dei, made in God's image. Do you know that you are made in God's image? That is your true identity, a creation of God. And if you're a believer, your identity is that you're a child of God. And part of the reason that we wanted to do this program and talk about what it means to be made in God's image, for one thing, the Word of God says this in Genesis 1 and elsewhere. But Bert, another reason, I've been reading a lot of statistics, and sociologists and psychologists say that many people nowadays are having an identity crisis with the breakdown of the family. So many young people, sadly, never live under the same roof with their biological mother and father. A lot of younger people are finding it hard to really get their niche and find a career path, maybe unlike previous generations. And there was a Harvard Law study that came out in 2023 that says that many individuals, they don't know who they are. They don't know their identity. So we want to talk about that because you really do have an identity, and it's found in Jesus Christ. So we'll look into the Word of God and find this, and maybe God will use these programs to help you realize your value, your worth as a human being, your true identity, made in God's image, and a relationship with God Himself through Jesus Christ. We believe this is important, don't we, Bert?
We really do. It's Satan's attack on our identity. Identity theft, Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy, and he does it with identity. But once you know who you are and whose you are, I want to tell you, it changes everything. Those two things, who we are and whose we are. Now, all of creation, there's a big debate about, you know, are we all the children of God? By creation, we are all that we are children of the Creator. Then there's a relationship that's even greater and higher, and that is through redemption as we become children and I would say sons and daughters of the Father through Christ. And so, Alex, this identity crisis is very real. I've been talking about it on this program for more than a year, if you want to know the truth. So this is an important lesson, and we hope people can get a hold of it, share it with others. And this is a pre-record, but it will be on the podcast, and people can get it. And I think it'll help people to identify who they are, but also help others know who they are through the Word of God. And let me just say, and I've said it again, through common sense. And so we find that, and I pray that this would be a blessing to those who are hearing.
Well, we're going to look at what the Bible says about being made in God's image. And of course, you know, maybe the most well-known verse that references this is in Genesis chapter 1, where it says that God made man in his image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. Now, let's talk about the pinnacle of God's creation, which are human beings. And you know, the pinnacle of creation, but also just the purpose of redemption is not just to be human beings, but redeemed, regenerated, conformed to the image of Christ, and one day glorified in the presence of Christ, human beings. Now, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, human beings are spirit, soul, and body. Now, here's a word you can use in Sunday school to impress people: tripartite. And just like God is Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we, reflecting the image of the one who made us, we are a Trinity. Now, we are not God. God loves us. We can be godly, but the creation will never become the Creator. Bert, I want to make that clear. Even when we talk about, you know, being glorified, we humans do not turn into God. We do not turn into angels. I've had people say that, you know, well, a departed loved one is an angel now. No, that is not the case. Angels are angels. Humans are humans. But what a beautiful thing. Spirit, soul, and body, you know, the everlasting part of us, the spirit lasts forever. And then the mind, which really is soul or psyche. That's our knowledge, our intellect, our emotions, our will, and then our body, of course, our physical body. Well, just like God is a Trinity, we are a Trinity. But Bert, I want to say this, and I want you, with your pastoral experience, to drill down into this. One of the wonderful things about Almighty God, and God is eternal, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God, in perfect harmony, no division, no separation. God is absolutely, perfectly, seamlessly united within himself. But human beings, we're not that way. We, even though we're one person, spirit, soul, and body, yet I've met many people that are divided within themselves. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And Bert, isn't it part of the ministry of Jesus in our life? Yes, to give us peace with God. Yes, to cultivate peace with others. But maybe even one of the greatest benefits of being saved is peace within ourselves. Because isn't it possible for a person to be deeply divided even within themselves?
It is so true, and it's not the peace that we can give ourselves. It's the peace that accompanies the presence of God, the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, and he comes in, and he does those things that we cannot do ourselves. And so, Alex, when you talk about the spirit, soul, and body, I remember my dad, and again, we're talking about a 10th grade education, but wisdom in the Word of God, he did have, and he told me early on, I remember it as just a boy, he said, "Now, son, listen, plants have, quote, a body." Now, not like our body, but, you know, you can see it, but it does it does not feel, it does not have a personality, and he said the sap runs through it, and so it has the body. And then we were on a farm, so we had cows and chickens and hogs. We didn't have horses, but he'd say, "Now, listen, I found out that they have a body, but they also have something in their mind that sets them apart, each one, that a dog is not a cat and a cow is not a horse. They're all different. So they're two. They have that. You can call it soul or mind, you know, that psychic." But he said, human beings, above other things, we have the capacity to know God by the Spirit, and said, "This is why you need to be born again, so you'll have this living spirit, not a dead spirit." Because in the book of Genesis, God told Adam, "The day that you eat of this fruit, that day you shall surely die." Now, he did not die physically, he did not die soulishly, but spiritually there was that departure, that separation. So when you see that spirit, soul, and body, you see this capacity to know God, Alex. And listen, this is our true identity. We were made to know God and to follow him. And that's why you must be born again. So in this lesson about made in the image of God, we can understand that because of who God is and because how God has made us, we're able to know him. That's it. There is a God, and we can know him. That's good news, brother.
It is. It is great news. And have you ever heard somebody say that they were conflicted, maybe conflicted within themselves?
Oh, yeah.
And, conflict within our heart, it can be over a job choice. It can be over, you know, having crosswords with somebody. Maybe it's some pressure over a decision you've got to make, or maybe it's regret about something from the past, or maybe it's, you know, whatever. We know what it is to be conflicted. And the beautiful thing about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life and the ministry of Jesus, you know, Bert, we're talking about spirit, soul, and body. See, Jesus touches all of those. Our spirit is regenerated and made alive the moment we trust Christ. Then our mind is renewed for all of our life. That's why we say, read the Bible, you know, get the wisdom of God and let that continually reshape how you think and how you look at the world and how you plan and how you prioritize. And even how you listen to this, give yourself permission to be at peace on the inside. That peace from God. And then, you know, one day we're going to get a glorified body. When you leave this world, you're going to be in the presence of God. If you're a Christian, you get a glorified body. No sickness, no pain, no aging, no degeneration. But even down here in this world, you know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit if you're a Christian. Well, you know, we need to give our bodies to the Lord. And be a good steward of our body, because salvation touches the whole person. Now, being made in God's image, Bert, it is a beautiful thing, and I know we're getting kind of deep here, but you think about what God has accomplished in salvation. He made a class of creatures, human beings, that he can show his love to. He can extend forgiveness and restoration, and yet our sins can be dealt with without compromising God's holiness. Jesus paid our sin debt at the cross, suffered, paid the punishment for our sins, and that forgiveness is appropriated to us when we exercise faith, put our faith in Jesus. And the beautiful thing about it, Bert, and I mean it is just genius, I'm not doing it justice, but God made it possible for us to have a legitimate relationship with him. He did not compromise who he is, and yet he did extend grace to us, but he doesn't force it.
Yeah.
I mean, God offers salvation. Some people sadly reject it, and yet we have an authentic relationship with Almighty God by which we are blessed, we grow, we mature, we learn. And we freely choose to accept Christ, and yet it is by God's election, without compromising our free will or overriding it. I guess what I'm saying is what God has achieved in salvation and the blessings that come to us who believe, that's why it is the greatest story ever told.
Amen.
You know, forgive me for being so wordy here.
No, it was needed,
but we can't do it justice. What a glorious thing is salvation in Jesus.
Amen. God is holy and God is love. And the only way those two can be demonstrated in our lives is through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. So it makes it possible to be born again. We'll be back with more right after this break.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only options, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, And it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hours, loving them, helping them choose life, and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
As we go, let us make disciples. As we go, let us tell the world of Christ.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex with you, and this is a pre-recorded program. We never know for sure. Alex may be flying. He may be teaching. Man, Alex has so many hands in the fire, and he does so many things. And I may be traveling and speaking, but I also may be with my grandkids, too. I take off for that. That's a priority in my life. But it is good to be with you. And, Alex, we're talking about being made in the image of God. Before we go into this segment, try to do it as distinctly as you can. How important is it for an individual to know that they're made in the image of God?
Oh, it's vitally important. And I really think that the awareness of our true identity, that we are made in God's image and that God willed that we would exist, it can prevent us from falling into some ditches of discouragement or depression or even, you know, thoughts of suicide or self-harm. Bert, of all the people I've counseled, and I know you have too, you spent many years in the pastorate, so have I, but the people who fell into sin or fell into depression or drugs or something terrible like that, and frankly, we've done many, many prison crusades, people that wind up behind bars very often, they didn't know who they are. Because I'll tell you, when you know who you are, and not only what your purpose is, but that you have a purpose.
Amen.
I really think that's a good antidote to falling in many of the ditches Satan would love to see us wind up in.
That's the one of the reasons why Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, was so powerful, Alex. It changed people's lives because at that point when it was written, and even now, there's this idea of, We've heard Darwinian evolution so long, and it's been poured down to so many people in all of life, education, entertainment, everything that you can think of, that when we find out we're born with a purpose, for a purpose, and it's God who has made us, and it changes everything. And so let's continue. It's got a big biblical basis, doesn't it?
Well, it does. You know, in segment one, we mentioned Genesis 1, 26, 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." I mean, from the birds to the fish to the mammals to the insects, God made it all. But yet, God gave Adam and Eve, and by extension us, the dominion mandate. Now, not to, you know, destroy the planet or trash the planet, but to be stewards. And, you know, you and I both grew up on a farm, and one of the reasons that I love farming, I love to grow things, especially tomatoes in the summertime. But, you know, the human race, we were put to take care of a garden. You know, and we have dominion, but it says God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Bert, there's at least three things in this Genesis 1, 26, 27. There's at least three things that the secular world would really push back on. One, that we were created by Almighty God rather than evolved. But yes, we were created. The other thing is dominion. We're not to be environmentalists worshiping the planet. We're to care for the planet. Then the other thing is gender as God created it, male and female. So right here in chapter 1 of the Holy Bible, there are three things where the battle for the soul of the world rages, even right this minute.
And it's in Genesis chapter 1 at the very beginning, and we see Satan coming to attack what God has made. That has not changed. The tactics are still there. Has God really said, or do you really believe, you know, the whole bit of it. But notice that last statement. It really hits me when you see it in print. God created man in his own image. That's enough. But then he adds, in the image of God, he created him. And that was sufficient. But then he says, male and female, he created them. This is the whole idea of him setting man apart. This is such a strike. I would say the other, and you said it, the creation by God. It's a strike against Darwinian evolution so strongly. Mm. We're in God's image. We're special. Again, we're the highest creation that God has made. And he made us, as you said, to have this dominion. Again, the word is stewardship, using it wisely. It doesn't mean we worship the trees, but guess what? It's good to plant back those trees that you have cut down, you know. The whole idea is replenish. That's an important word. He said replenish the earth. We're also to do that in the area of God's creation, using the animals and let them procreate and continue in this process that God has given us the ability to have the stewardship, Alex.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, we got a lot of verses to go over, but I just want to again say to anybody listening, your worth and value and really, frankly, the source of your joy is not about what you have or what you do, but it's about who you are, and God made you. And listen, don't let anybody tell you that you're stupid or that you're worthless or that you're a failure, you're no good. Don't believe that. Those are lies from the devil. Amen. Again, the Lord Almighty deemed that you would exist. God made you. And then further, Christ died for you. Jesus said you are worth more than many sparrows. God knows the fall of every sparrow. In other words, when a precious little bird dies and falls to the ground, Almighty God knows about it. And yet, Jesus said, you are worth more than many sparrows. And so, remember your identity, and not arrogantly or cocky or pridefully, humbly, but God made me. Nothing can take that away. Christ died for me. Nothing can diminish that.
Amen.
If you're a believer, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what a joy that is. Now, Genesis 5, 1 and 2, again, says that we're made in God's image. It also says where Adam was the first man, the first human being. And again, this mitigates against Darwinian evolution. But yes, there was a real Adam and a real Eve. Every human being, 8.8 billion right now, they all came from Adam and Eve. And Bert, let me talk about the amazing creativity of God, the human DNA. There are so many billions of genetic potentials, even though there was one man and one woman. And yes, gender is binary, not fluid. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Procreation and childbearing requires a man and a woman. And, which one of your sons does exploring missions?
That's Nathan, our oldest son. It is.
Nathan. And I know he's been on many international fields to share the gospel, hasn't he?
He has.
And myself included. It's just amazing that all the ethnicities of the world, and humans are beautiful. And there's, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight.
Amen.
Yet, within Adam and Eve, and there was Cain and Abel and all the humans that have ever lived, and yet the billions of genetic possible outcomes, blonde hair, blue eyes, fair skin, dark skin, much melanin, little melanin, tall, short, all of the ethnicities. Folks, there are not races. There is one race, the human race. That's why we love people. And we recognize as a Christian, and this is why the biblical worldview is the answer to so many of life's problems. All human beings have worth and value and dignity. And when we honor our neighbor, we love our neighbor, we're honoring the one whose image they bear.
Well said, Alex. Amen. Let me say this before we go to the next verse in Genesis 9, but I'm the youngest of nine children, and okay. It is amazing. All nine, we have similar ideas. All of us have brown eyes. Now, that's because my dad, he had dominant. He had brown eyes, his mom and dad brown eyes, so he got that DNA. My mother, on the other hand, blue-eyed, and it was subservient to the brown-eyed gene. But even though we're all brown-eyed, some eyes are bigger than others, some are smaller, and, the whole idea. And so this DNA that God has given to mankind, as you have said, it's just amazing. And when we see what God has done in his creation, I want to tell you, if you can get that down, it will make your redemption a lot easier when you know that God's made you, and we haven't evolved from a cell somewhere abstract in a muddy pond, but God purposely made us, that we say, okay, if he's made us, then he has purpose for us, and that is revealed in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, get creation down. And it really does change your perspective on life, Alex.
Amen. Let me read some verses. And Genesis 9:6 implies capital punishment for murder, because it says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image." Now, this is not self-defense or something like that. This Genesis 9:6, this is murder. And murder is the most heinous of crimes. Why? Because it is an affront, an attack on the one whose image we bear.
That's right.
You know, the wanton, unjustified killing of a fellow human being, that's bad. That's sad. The ending of a life. And let me just say this, when a murder takes place, someone's spirit is put into eternity, saved or lost. We don't have the authority to determine when that is. Now, I'm not talking about self-defense. God gives to nations and individuals the right to self-defense. That's different. But Bert, I've often thought about this. Okay, everybody, your spirit or the non-physical part of you, the Bible says that we'll all appear before God. When someone is murdered, that is sending them out into eternity apart from God's timetable.
It really
now,
is. Yeah.
God knows when we're going to die, and that's God's purvey, not ours. But I think about this, and they talk about a life cut short, which is very sad. Part of the reason that cultures throughout history have had capital punishment for convicted murderers. Now listen carefully, and I'm going to throw it back to Bert. I've had liberal people write in, and they'll say, oh, how can you be a Christian and support the death penalty for convicted murderers? Believe it or not, folks, capital punishment for murder affirms the value of human life, because what we're saying is a human life is so high and sacred that if someone wantonly, unjustifiably takes a human life, they pay with their own life.
Alex, Genesis 9:6 says that because it refers back to Genesis 1 when it said, "For God made him in his own image." That sets us apart in value and in purpose. And so when someone does and takes things into their own hands in murder, it does take away God's purpose and, again, what God had in mind. And so, yes, I agree with you. I think your argument concerning it demonstrating the value of life is real, and that is the purpose. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. Go ahead.
I've had people say to me, they'll say, well, the death penalty for murder doesn't dissuade crime. Well, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. There are statistics on that. But murder capital punishment for convicted murderers, the primary incentive for that is not deterrent against crime, although that should be a part of it. The primary reason for capital punishment for convicted murderers is because when you destroy and end the life of one made in God's image, you pay with your own life.
Yeah.
Now, it may be a deterrent, and in fact, for people who are thinking rationally, it should be a deterrent. But we know that people that are on a murderous rage aren't rational. But here's the thing. Genesis 9:6 reaffirms the Genesis 1, made in God's image, the sacredness of human life. And the Bible goes on, like Psalm 8, 4 through 6. What is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? In other words, the psalmist is pondering, you know, God, what a little insignificant one am I that you'd be thinking about me? But it says, humans are made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, given dominion over the earth, for you have put all things under his feet. I'll put it this way. Here's the New Testament summarization of this. God demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Who is man? If you've wondered, you know, who am I? What is my life? Well, you were made in God's image. You're lower than the angels, although the angels are different. There's no plan of salvation for fallen angels. Bert, isn't that something that, you know, it says, you know, regarding salvation, such things the angels have desired to look into. There is no plan of salvation for fallen angels, but yet there is for fallen humans.
When you see that word, those words, what is man that you are mindful of him? You know, you started out with that song, he knows my name. Listen, he knows who you are, and he wants you to know him. We're going to be back with more of Exploring the Word right after this break.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinic saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
Now, back to the Bible study. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. This is a very special pre-recorded edition. Bert and I are traveling, and so we can't take calls today, but we hope you'll tune in to the rest of the program. We're talking about being made in God's image. And Charles Spurgeon, the very famous English preacher 100 years ago, we quote him often, but Charles Spurgeon said this, listen, quote, "Man was made in the image of God, and nothing will satisfy us but God, in whose image we were made. End of quote. Augustine said it this way, the heart is restless till it rests in thee. Bert, that's really true, isn't it? Being made in God's image, we weren't made just to be, you know, consumers or materialists or hedonists just seeking after pleasure. We were made for a relationship with Almighty God.
Jesus, before he left, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, as not having a father. I'm going to ascend, but I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and he will dwell in you. He's going to be your comforter. Listen, we need God. Every human being needs this relationship that you can have with Jesus Christ. And the only way you can have it is by grace through faith. You can't work for it. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. It is through grace, God extending his grace. Now, who is that grace extended to? Anybody who would turn to him by faith. Now, he has created us, so that means he knows my need. And the greatest need we have is, because of sin being in our life, is that of forgiveness and regeneration in Christ. And he gives that, Alex. And we can truly be in his image when our spirit, the spirit of man, comes in. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in him and brings the spirit of life. And we are truly communing with God. We, as you said earlier, we don't become God, but we can commune and have fellowship with him. And I believe this scripture in Colossians 3, 9 and 10 says a little bit about that. Let me read it and then you comment, Alex. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator.
That is powerful.
It really is. And when you read that, renewed in the knowledge after the image of its of our creator, listen, God has made us to know him. And he knows our name. He knows everything about us. He knows our every thought. There's nothing hidden from him. And so, Alex, you know, the psalmist and Jonah found out they could try to get away from God on a ship or the depth of the sea or going up. Wherever they went, there was God. And so don't try to run from God. Run to him, I would say. How about you, Alex?
Amen. Amen. You know, a lot of people have observed that it would end so much conflict and, you know, fighting and just all sorts of jealousy and gossip and lying and backbiting and just all of the conflict that we have with each other. If we, in our neighbor, recognized the image of God, that they're made in God's image. And look, I know we all can get crossways with people through life, but forgive and be a bridge builder and a fence mender. Because look, that neighbor, that everybody, they're made in God's image. They're a sinner for whom Christ died. If they're a fellow believer, they're a part of the family that we are in, a brother and sister. They're joint heirs of the kingdom. We're going to be together in heaven. We may as well learn to get along with each other, because as we say, don't just see that enemy. Don't just see that person who gets on your nerves. Don't just see that person that you think you need to hold a grudge against. No, see, they are made in God's image. And that's part of the reason that the devil has vehemently attacked the human race. I've said it many times, but Satan could not kill off God. So he has tried in 10,000 ways to harm the ones made in God's image. Now, let me read from Colossians 3, 9 and 10. One of my favorite books, oh my goodness, the book of Colossians. But it says, quote, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, we hope, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Now, Bert, I think what that means is, if you're a Christian, live like it, live in accord with the one whose image you bear and the one whose name you name. Do you remember D. James Kennedy?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, great preacher. He's been in heaven 20 years, I suppose. But I, Yeah, I heard him preach a number of times, and he would speak at NRB, where we go. But he would often use this sermon illustration of some soldiers that, you know, were traitors and deserters. And they, in cowardice, they ran from a battle. But he said that when finally they were apprehended, they said, you know, either change your uniform or change your behavior. Because if you're going to wear the uniform of this army, then you need to march to the beat of that general. So for those that are would-be deserters, either change your uniform or change your behavior. And if we're a Christian, like Colossians 3, 9, and 10, we've got to do right by others because we represent Jesus and we are honoring the one whose image they bear.
Put off and put on. I can share with you that's what you do. We have to do that all the time with our body. Okay, think of that. We're talking about the spirit. We're talking about the soul and the body. With our bodies, we have to put off the old clothes, put on the new clothes, wash those old clothes and put them back on, you know, those things. And in our mind, the same thing. Dwell on these things. Philippians 4:8, if there be any virtue, and all the eight different elements that our mind can comprehend, think on those things, put off the other things. In our spirit, Alex, put off this wrong thinking, this thing, I'm not worthy, I'm nothing, you know, I'm on my own. No, God is there, and understand that. So put that off, the old self with its practices, and put on the new self. Now, how's that self done? It is renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Let me add a word here, because you'll find it in other places. Renew every day, Alex. Every day is a new day. You know, isn't it great? Jan and I had three sons, and we still have three sons. But I remember when they were at home, and sometimes they'd have fever. There's something about having fever and being sick at night. It was just the darkness of it made it difficult and hard. Mm-hmm. And when morning would come and the light would come and a new day had dawned, there was a renewed hope. There was a renewed feeling. And so understand that. So put that off and put it on, that we are made in the image of our Creator. What a story. Amen. We have to tell, Alex.
You know, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, you know, regarding this journey down here, and we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Ephesians 4:24 goes on, says, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, here's the thing. We're all on this journey called life, right? The purpose of life is to know Jesus Christ, to be born again. And that can happen for you today. You can, right now, today, you can put your faith in Jesus, and He will forgive your sins, and your spiritual birthday can be today. And if you're listening to this and you're not sure, and I'm not talking about being a church member, although that's an important thing. I'm not talking about trying to live right, although we all should. Salvation begins when you put your faith in Jesus and you turn from sin to Christ. That the Bible calls that repentance. And to repent, Bert, I think it involves a couple of steps, really. For one thing, we admit that we are a sinner. And we say, you know what, God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I cannot save myself. And Lord, I am sorry for my sins. And the best way I know how, Lord, I'm turning away from sin, and I'm looking to Jesus. Now, what do you need to believe about Jesus? Well, that He is the Son of God, and that when He died on the cross, He did it for you. So do you recognize, dear listener, you recognize that we're all sinners. You either have Christ or you need Christ. And you don't just, maybe you might think, well, you know, I'll try to be as good as I can for as long as I can, and that'll count for something. No, it won't. It really won't. All of our good works, and we should do good works. We should live right, but that will not save you. What saves you in an instantaneous moment is when you admit that you're a sinner, you put your faith in Jesus, and then you ask him. And this is a prayer God has promised to hear, and God has promised to answer in the affirmative if you ask Jesus to save your soul. And Bert, I don't know, I just believe that there are probably people listening even now, and it's time to make sure. Don't risk eternity on some ambiguity or hope. So today, settle this today. God loves you. I think you're hearing this broadcast right now by God's design. And so call out to Jesus, be born again. And then, and this is where it gets so exciting, the rest of your life down here is this glorious adventure of growing in the Lord, every day walking with the Lord, and even walking for the Lord. See, here's a beautiful thing, that God not only gives you the gift of salvation, but he wants to work through you to touch other lives. Bert, I think we have no concept of the extent to which God works in us and through us when we yield our lives to him.
Amen, Alex. And it's true everywhere. Notice this in Colossians and Ephesians, two different cities. Colossians, smaller, whether it's that or not, I call it the Mayberry of the New Testament letters that Paul wrote, you know, smaller.
Amen.
And then Ephesus, next to probably Rome, it was the most influential and largest, a metropolis. But in both cases, no matter if you're in Colossians or if you're in Ephesians, put on this new self. Why would he say that? Because it's so much better. It is something that you have a friend that's closer than a brother. You have someone to go with you and walk with you. And you're in the very image of God. In what is that? In the likeness of God, in righteousness and holiness. Now, again, we love God because he first loved us. The Bible says we're to be holy because God is holy. And he knew we couldn't do it on our own, so he sent us the Holy Spirit that I've referred to earlier. The Holy Spirit came to dwell in us. It's the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And where God's presence is, Alex, the power of God can reign when we pull back our old self. That's what it means, put off the new, put off the old. When we put that off and let the new shine through, it makes all the difference in the world. And remember from the day of Pentecost, before, here was Peter denying Jesus three times. And after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came into his life and they went to the beautiful gate, he and John, and the man was healed. They called him before the Sanhedrin and they were saying, you got to stop speaking in his name and everything. And Peter, with all boldness and humility, said, we can't help but speak of the things we've seen and heard. Alex, that is the power of God entering our life because he has made us with purpose in his image. He's made us with the capacity to know him. So, Alex, let me finish my thoughts here. It is because of who we are and whose we are. When you understand who you are in Christ and whose we are, we're his workmanship. And you talked about it earlier, about not being able to work for our salvation, but we are workmen, and we are to show him that we love him and others through the work of Christ. It's a great story to be in the image of God, isn't it?
Well, amen. Amen. We're talking about being made in the image of God. Bert, you've probably heard of the great Christian thinker Francis Schaeffer. He was really kind of one of the pioneers of biblical worldview, died in the 80s. But Francis Schaeffer said this, quote, man made in the image of God has a purpose to be in relationship with God, who is there. And when we forget our purpose, we forget who we are and we forget what life is. Means. Billy Graham, the great evangelist, Billy Graham said this, quote, the reason we have this inner conviction that death is not the end and that heaven exists is because we were created in the image of God, end of quote. And we're doing this program because we feel it is so vitally important that we get a renewed appreciation for what it means to be a human being made in God's image. You know, Billy Graham said we are convinced of heaven and eternity because we're made in God's image. And, you know, 2 Peter 1:4 says that we are partakers in the divine nature. Well, one last scripture, Ecclesiastes 3:11, that says God has set eternity in our hearts. That's why you'll never be happy apart from a relationship with Christ. You'll never feel that you've, you know, got it, your purpose, your identity, till you realize that we weren't made just for this temporal world, but we were made to spend eternity with the Savior who loves us so dearly. Jesus loves you. Please believe that. And we say it, it's no cliche, but He is as close by as a prayer. Be in step with your true identity, your true self, your true purpose by being in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. We've got more on this, and of course, it's archived at AFR.net. If you would, tell somebody about Exploring the Word and American Family Radio, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.